Thank you, Brian. So great to be able to be back here at Trinity. Our family has had a pretty busy past couple of weeks. I just completed my fifth year serving on the Board of Ordered Ministry, and it was very bittersweet. Some of you are familiar with that board. It's affectionately known as BOOM, and really thankful for our church to bless me with that opportunity, to allow me over these past 5 years to go away and really try to take care of pastors who are in crisis for all different reasons. And so very, very humbled and thankful for that opportunity. This past week, right after we got back, we had, some of you were here for our wonderful prayer and worship evening, and that was fire. That was awesome. And yeah, praise God. We look forward to the next one to come, because that really is a great opportunity to really meet God again in a fresh new way. And then this past week, my family and I were at Pilgrim Pines. Some of us who are newer may not know what Pilgrim Pines is. It's our East Coast Conference Center, Retreat Center. And throughout the summer throughout the year, there's many, many different kind of programs. And I was graciously invited to be the speaker for week one for Family Camp, which I've done the past couple of years. And it was just a very, very special time. I think I got a little bit of sun. My therapy was just floating in the water for 2 hours at a time there, and a really beautiful opportunity. So this will be my fifth or sixth sermon this week, so if my voice is a little bit hoarse or if I sound a little weary, just say, Lord, help him, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will strengthen me. Kathy actually took one of the messages. I asked her if she'd be willing to share a message that God has been brewing in her heart, and it was probably the most powerful message of the whole week on the power of wholeness. And so even some of the conference, the Pilgrim Pines folks are saying, can she come back as our guest speaker next year? And Peter, you just carry her bags. I'm like, wow. You just never underestimate the work that God is doing in your loved ones and your spouses. And it was really a privilege. And Kathy said, it was so weird that I'm speaking and then, honey, you were sitting in the seats. And it was a very powerful time to hear God's story in her life sharing. And so it was very special. Two of the little things that happened also this past week, we had an opportunity to do an interment service actually for Nancy Gotch. Some of you know their family, and she passed away earlier, and we had a chance up in Swansea to do a brief burial service of her remains, and that was very special. And just continue to pray for Ron and the entire family as they continue to grieve the loss of the matriarch of their family. So that was very special to be up in that part of New Hampshire to be able to lead that service. And then finally, Jim Condep, who's the director, executive director of Pilgrim Pines, said, hey, we just acquired a new property called Skytop, and would you and Kathy like to see it? We said, we'd love to see it. And we weren't sure really what it was, but we drove way to the top of the mountain and walked in, and there were the previous owners of this property that through someone's generosity they were able to acquire, and it was Phyllis Nelson's summer home. Yes, it was amazing. Some of you know her and her husband, and they're longtime members here at Trinity, and to walk into that home, the whole view of the lake, many of you know what that is like, and to be in her home and see the family picture and just the beautiful legacy of faith for decades that that family and Phyllis Nelson had. So that was a real joy and honor walking into her previous home that is now going to be used as part of the retreat center at Pilgrim Pines to bless families that they can stay there, have the view of the whole camp and lake. And just reminding me of how we are always really living into the legacy of our faith, of others who have gone before us here at Trinity, in our own families. We are carving out a legacy of faith for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So I just wanted to share that because it was just a very special opportunity to be up there and a surprise, and to finally see a picture of Phyllis Nelson and her family was something very, very special. And so I was just so grateful. For a few minutes this morning, we want to continue our series through the Apostles' Creed. And my wife, Kathy, said, "Honey, are you still doing that Apostle Creed series?" I said, "Yes, a few more." She goes, "Oh, okay, when are you going to finish with that?" I said, "Oh, pretty soon, pretty soon." She said, "Okay, I'll be praying for you." So she's praying for me. We're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. And so let me say a word of prayer, and we'll jump right in for a few minutes this morning during our family service. I thank you personally, Lord, for some amazing opportunities that you've given to me and my family these past 2 weeks, serving our denomination on the Board of Ordained Ministries after 5 years, concluding my term, and a chance to witness the powerful restoration of those who are struggling in their lives. That was a real honor and privilege. Thank you for that, and thank you for our denomination that we support that can provide really one of the best ministries for those who are really struggling, especially clergy. And so I thank you for that. Thank you for the Minister Pilgrim Pines, to see so many campers there and opportunity to preach and minister. And just over the generations, thinking about Phyllis Nelson and her family and many others who have invested their lives, their energy, their financial generosity to bless so many. We're so grateful to be connected to the Greater Covenant family, and thank you for that opportunity. I think about the Gotch family, and thank you for that opportunity to be with them and continue to be with Ron and the entire family, Lord, as they continue to grieve the loss of the matriarch of their family. Lord, there's a lot going on that we desperately need your touch, to hear your voice. We pray for the tragedy in the hill country of Texas. We think about this Camp Mystic and the search for these young girls, campers. Our hearts are utterly broken of the more than 50 who've lost their lives through that flash flood. And we just pray that many will be found alive, and that your spirit would be over them. Thank you for Christian camps and the opportunity to invest in the lives of young people. And we know that many who came to know Jesus through that camp, we realize that time is always of an essence, and we never know what tomorrow holds. And so we cling to you, Jesus, and just pour your spirit on that part of the country, and in the midst be with the rescue workers and all who are searching for those missing campers and those who are grieving the loss of their loved ones. And so we pause to remember this, and thank you for the opportunity to gather together. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Just thinking about the Holy Spirit, probably for a lot of us, a lot of different pictures emerge in our minds as we think about who the Holy Spirit is. And I've mentioned before, the sense that we think of it as the force, right? And you can move things and feel the force and all this. And a lot of times, especially, I think about my kids who are mad Star Wars fans, thinking, well, maybe that's what the Holy Spirit's like. It's kind of like the force. Or some of you remember Casper the Friendly Ghost. I don't know if I'm dating myself here, but we remember Casper. And sometimes we think that maybe the Holy Spirit's kind of like that, is kind of this floating ghost or phantom that kind of mysteriously shows up here or there in the Bible and throughout history in our lives every once in a while, more almost like a ghost. Yeah, it makes sense, right? Holy Ghost, Casper the Friendly Ghost, it's all the same. Some of us may have a picture of the Holy Spirit as kind of lightning from heaven, zap! And you get filled with the Holy Ghost and start dancing and speaking in tongues and prophesying and all these things. And some of us see the Holy Spirit as almost like a lightning bolt of power that you get charged up, almost an energy. Certainly, the Holy Spirit does have a lot of energy. But often, we, like so many other parts of Scripture, come up with many different of our own ideas and cultural pictures and understandings of biblical truth, especially when it comes to the Holy Spirit. But what does the Scripture say? John 14, 15 through 17. "If you love me," Jesus says, "you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is God's word. These are the words of Jesus Christ himself. And so there is this relationship, as we think about, you can put on the next picture there, of the Holy Spirit, who really is described by Jesus as a person, the third person of the Trinity. And often theologians and pastors describe the Holy Spirit as kind of the shy one. We know about God the Father, and we certainly know about Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, who exactly is he? And it wasn't too long ago, as we think, and this is obviously a reference to Acts chapter 2, what we call what happened at Pentecost, the coming in power of the Holy Spirit to fill the New Testament church with his presence, his power, as they were preparing for the mission that Jesus commissioned them to make disciples of all nations. Several years back, we took time to, through the Bible Project, to study, especially the Old Testament understanding of the Holy Spirit. And fascinatingly enough, we looked at the Hebrew, ruach. Can you say that with me? One, two, three. Ruach. Okay. Oh, that sounds awesome. Hebrew for the Spirit. And so when we think about the Holy Spirit, we often think, well, he came, Acts chapter 2, and that's where we learn about him. But from the very opening verses of the Bible, we find the presence and the person and the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Hebrew word really means breath. And so here we find this word translated as breath or spirit in the earliest pages of Scripture. Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, the Ruach, was hovering over the face of the waters. Genesis 1:30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the Ruach, the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. And then once again, the same word. And the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath, the ruach of life. And the man became a living creature. So here we have, from the very beginning, not starting in Acts chapter 2, not even starting with John 14, but from the very beginning, the very first few verses of the Bible, we see that the Holy Spirit is present, involved in creation itself. The Spirit of God is a spirit of life and the breath of God. And so we would do well to revisit a few things regarding what the Apostle Creed says. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, what exactly is referring to. First and foremost, the Holy Spirit is our advocate. And we've looked at this a little bit the past couple of years. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. Two verses, there's so many, but two verses. Nevertheless, I'll tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, Jesus says, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Not just a lightning bolt, not just the Force like in Star Wars, not just a phantom or ghost like Casper, but he's described as the Helper, an advocate. But if I go, I will send him to you. He is our advocate. He is our helper. Romans 8:26 reminds us of one of his most important ministries. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Spirit is our advocate. He is our helper. He is the one that strengthens us when we are down. He is our defender. He is our fighter. He is our friend. When we blow it in our lives, it is the accuser, the enemy, that points his finger at you and I to fill us with guilt and shame that destroys us, that paralyzes us. But our advocate rather points back to Jesus, his completed, finished work on the cross to cleanse us, to renew us, and is he who advocates for us. A couple years back when we looked at the ministry of the Spirit, we looked at these, and I thought this was so good, I wanted to bring this back as a reminder. Ray Orland, pastor and Bible teacher. And let this sink into you as you think about the ministry of our advocate, the Spirit. The Holy Spirit puts his finger on a specific sin I've committed, something concrete I can own and confess. But the accusations of Satan are vague and simply demoralizing. What a difference between the accusations of the enemy that seeks to really steal, kill, and destroy. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit, yes, convicts us of our sin, that we would repent, that we would confess, that we would get right with God, that we would experience the grace of Christ in your life. No sin is beyond the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus. Amen. That we would get right with God and be at peace once again. Number two, the Holy Spirit shows me Christ, the mighty friend of sinners. But the devil wants me spiraling down into negative self-focus. Anyone been there? That downward spiral of doubt and shame, and you become so self-focused you can't see beyond yourself. The Holy Spirit points us to the mighty friend of sinners. Thirdly, Ray Orton writes, and this is so good, the Holy Spirit leads me to a threshold of new life, but the devil wants to paralyze me where I am so I don't move forward, I don't grow, I don't experience all that God has for me in this precious life that he has given. We are meant to move forward in our lives, but the enemy often paralyzes us, keeps us frozen in guilt and shame and hopelessness. The Holy Spirit brings peace of heart along with a new hatred of sin so that I bow before Jesus in reconsecration. But the devil offers peace of mind with smug relief so that I fold my arms and say, there, that's over with. I did my penance. What a difference. Can you see the contrast of the ministry of the Spirit as our advocate? The Holy Spirit helps me to be so open to God that I allow him to control the conversation. But the devil tempts me to take off the table certain questions I just don't want God to talk to me about. I think he's onto something. And there we begin to understand this helper that Jesus was preparing to send in force, in power, as he was preparing to go to the cross and eventually ascend back to be with the Father. He is our advocate. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is our empowerer. Throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New, and all throughout church history till today, we see that, yes, the Holy Spirit has power, and he seeks to impart that power into our lives in order that we might serve God and his kingdom in unique opportunities that go beyond what we have in ourselves and our own strength and gifts and resources. We looked at before that the first person described in the entire Bible as being full of the Spirit of God was, do you guys remember? Joseph. Did you guys get that? Joseph? Joseph. It was Joseph. Serving Pharaoh in Egypt. And here we have the ministry of the empowerment of the Spirit. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are." Joseph may have been a man of integrity, gifted, strong, smart, handsome, all these things, but it was the filling and the empowerment of God's Spirit that allowed him to have the gifts and power to be able to interpret these dreams. And through that, eventually rescue the Jewish people who would eventually give birth to the Messiah, Jesus. Fascinating. Exodus 31, we also looked at verses 2 to 5. "See, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, the tribe of Judah. I filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability, intelligence, with knowledge, all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work with gold, in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and carving wood, to work in every craft." The first time I came across this, it was revolutionary, because often we relegate the empowerment of the Spirit as in things seen as preaching, teaching, healing, doing prophetic gifts. When you are anointed by the Spirit of God, you do these things with the word gifts. But here we have someone that when he was filled with the Spirit of God, he began to use his creativity to design things, make beautiful things with his hands, and through that serving God and his kingdom. It's not just the preaching and prayer and prophetic gifts, but all sorts of areas of our lives. When we experience the empowerment from the Spirit, even things as artistry and making beautiful things, we can see that the Spirit of God empowers us to use the multiplicity of our gifts, our talents, our passions to serve him. Even Samson, 14:19 in Judges, "And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave the garments to those who had told the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house." Even Samson, the strong man, unless he was empowered by the Spirit, could not do anything. He might have looked good, he might have looked pretty buff and strong, but apart from the empowerment of the Spirit of God, he could not do what he did. Joseph, empowered to interpret dreams. The artist Bezalel, empowered to create beautiful things with his hands. Even Samson, to bring God's wrath down upon his enemies. And everything else we can imagine, we need the empowerment of the Spirit of God. And this is where I believe we are reminded that we are at as we think about all the great needs that we find before us as Trinity Covenant Church. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is our renewer. He is our renewer. Let me just share with you three quick verses. Hopefully you can read a little bit of it. "The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," Romans 8:11. "He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit, his Spirit, who dwells in you." The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now in us. He can renew us. He can bring us new life. He is the renewer that brings healing to broken things, that resurrects dead things back to life. Ezekiel 36 testifies to that as well. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. We cannot live the life that Jesus calls us to live unless we are empowered by his spirit. That's why we struggle so much. We cannot live that life unless the Spirit animates us, changes our hearts, and moves us to live a life that honors him. Psalm 51, 10 through 12, David, in blowing it big time in his life, guilty of adultery, guilty of murder, wonders if he could ever be in the presence of God again. And he writes, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. No matter how far we turn from God in our lives, the Holy Spirit can renew us, can forgive us, can bring us back into fellowship, can use us no matter what we have done if we come to a true place of repentance. The Spirit is the renewer in our lives, and he can renew you and I. He can renew our church. He can renew the people of God for this generation, and this always needs to be our hope and prayer. As we think about the New Testament, and we think about Apostle Paul moved by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Spirit, we see almost 150 instances of him writing about the pneuma, the Spirit of God, throughout his letters. In fact, may this burn into our hearts and minds today, that we can't live our lives without the person, without the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul reminds us, Ephesians 5, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. What things do we turn to in our lives to find energy and strength and motivation and to recharge our batteries? The world is full of good gifts that God gives to us. Floating in Lake Swansea this week for me for 2 hours straight was one of those gifts. Except when I saw a big bass swim under me, I said, ah, I'm getting out of here. It scared me to death. Good food, good friends, holidays to enjoy. But let us not forget the power that comes from the filling of the Spirit of God in our lives that motivates us, that transforms us to be able to do the ministry that he has called us to. And Paul reminds us in verse 16 of Galatians 5, but walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. When the Spirit is not filling us, we don't have that power to really live the life that God has called us to live. We turn to other things to fill us in our lives. Walk by the Spirit, step by step, hour by hour, moment by moment, lest we fall into the ways of the flesh. If we live by the Spirit, Galatians 5:25, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit of God is not just an amorphous power or something in the heavenlies or a lightning bolt or an energy or force, but he is a person. Ephesians 4:30-32, listen here. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. When we don't live as Jesus lived, especially in our relationships with others, we break the heart of the Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Here we have this picture of the third person of the Trinity, not just a force or a power, but a person who can actually be grieved when we live with anger, wrath, malice, and we forget to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ with the kindness that Jesus showed you and I. And so Jesus, as he gathered his disciples before he ascended, of all the things he could have said that was captured for us in the scriptures, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed, he ruached on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This is the same phrase that harkens back to Genesis 2 of God breathing on a pile of dirt. The life of God, the presence of God, the power of God. Receive the Holy Ruach. The Holy Spirit, he commissioned them the way that David was, that all the prophets were, the breath of life that animated the first man and woman to life from the dust of the world, the dust of the earth. He longs to do the same. And so as we reflect on this we looked at a few years back as well, I'll end with this reminder of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. An advocate will call you to come clean and do right, but keeps coming back to make an argument on your behalf. He fights for us. But an accuser can't see past your sin, your failure, your darkness. What a difference. An advocate can see who you are becoming because of Jesus and his presence and work in your life. An accuser can see the worst of what you have done and keeps pointing the finger there over and over and over again. An advocate sees the long story of your life, what you are becoming, who you are becoming, what you are doing as you mature and grow in your faith. Parents, when sometimes we come to our wits' end, we want to pull our hair out because we're so frustrated with our kids. See the long game with the eyes of grace from the Holy Spirit of who your son or daughter is going to be in the future and treat them in that way because that's how God sees them. And oh, they're going to humble you, my friend. Just give a few more years and you'll see the reversal. Holy Spirit sees the long story of our game, reminds us. The accuser says, I know you're guilty. But an advocate, the Holy Spirit, says, I'm on your side. What an incredible reminder as we think about the ministry and the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. In the challenges of our day and times, in families that are grieving the loss of loved ones, in individuals fighting diseases like cancer and all manner of physical ailment and disease, in the anxious times, the divided times in which we live, we as God's people need to be filled with the Ruach of God once again. This is how we will start to see our mission fulfilled here at Trinity. God ain't done with this church yet. He's used people like the Gotchas, like Phyllis Nelson, over the years, the founders of our church. We've made it through COVID. there's something that still has to be done that only Trinity can do. And we have to do it by the power of the Spirit of God. It is His Spirit that helps us to treasure Jesus with hope to return to Him in repentance and renewal. It is the Spirit that unlocks our hearts to be radically generous with our time, with our talents, with our treasures, our finances. And when the Spirit of God comes, He points us back to Jesus, that we can do what He has called us to do. This, I pray, you will join me in our prayer as we move forward to the summer, as we pray for VBS this week, of all the young children that will meet the Spirit of God, we pray this week. And as our church continues to move forward, may through prayer, through worship, through the reading of Scripture, and as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, may the Spirit of God reanimate, fill us, empower us, renew us, that we can accomplish all that He has for our generation and this world that is lost and broken and dying without the hope of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. As we prepare now for the sacred privilege of celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, would you take a moment to pray to the Holy Spirit? And we can actually do that. Pray that if you are feeling weak and tired, that you would be empowered by Him once again. If you have felt the accusing finger of the enemy pointing at you, paralyzing you and your family, may through the renewing power of the Spirit, may you come to repentance and renewal. May you have a new heart given to you as you find hope in the person of Jesus through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And may you, even today, as you think about what you are going through, may you never, ever forget that you have a friend, an advocate, who is with you by your side, who lives not only next to you, but in you, the very Spirit of God who created life in the beginning, that raised Jesus from the grave. That Spirit is in you. O breath of God, O Ruach of the living God, the one who took a valley of dry bones and brought it to life as the army of God. To the Spirit of God who allows us to experience new life, to be born again, as Nicodemus heard from the words of Jesus. To the one who cried out in guilt and shame like David, who now experienced a clean and new heart. We pray, Father, that you would send your Spirit to revive and renew Trinity Covenant Church for the mission at hand that you have been working through for almost 140 years, we pray that our generation will be found faithful as we are filled with the Spirit of God. And so, Lord, meet us, we who are tired and weary, as we come to the table. Renew us and our loved ones once again. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Empower us and teach us to keep in step with the Spirit. We give you thanks, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. It is the Holy Spirit that invites us to be renewed in Him. If you need new life, if you need his empowerment for a task at hand, if you need to find forgiveness, if you need an advocate, a helper, a defender, and a friend, come forward today as you take of the Lord's Supper today. As we do that, we'll invite you forward. We'll, here at Trinity Covenant Church, we invite you forward to take it. Elements will be placed in your hands, and you can take it there or return back to your seats. Just if you can help us by disposing of the cups, that'll be great. We'll have prayer available at both ends of the stage. And if you aren't able to come forward, just raise your hand, and we will gladly have our servers bring the elements to you. And so with that, and with a fresh understanding and reminder of the importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, let us rise together and recite the ancient creed that we've been studying through. And we'll be for just a few more weeks. So honey, hang in there. I'll be done with the series soon. Let's go for it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he should come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Wow, I love that. With unison and conviction by the power of the Spirit, you may be seated. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Paul goes on to remind us that in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread, whenever you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." All who are weary, all who need an advocate, a defender, a fighter, a friend, for all those feeling beat down and weary and tired, and for those that need a renewed heart, come forward, meet the Spirit of God, see the person of Jesus as you celebrate the Lord's Supper. This is the Lord's table, and it is Jesus himself. It is the Spirit of God who personally by name invites you to come. The table is open to all who believe, all who need to meet him, all who need an advocate, all who need to be empowered, and all who need to be renewed. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, may he strengthen you, renew you, empower you, and comfort you as you come and celebrate at this time. If I can invite our servers forward, and you will be invited from the front rows to the back. And once again, if you are not able to come forward, please raise your hand and we will have our servers bring the elements to you. There will be prayer available as well at the sides of the stage and also following service today. Pray together. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here at Trinity Covenant Church. We're so grateful for the decades and decades of faithful gospel ministry that has been centered out of this place, Lord, into the lives of Manchester and beyond. And we know you're not through with us yet. And we pray that as we catch a fresh new vision for our lives and families, our children and our grandchildren here in our communities, I pray that you would help us be filled of your Holy Spirit as we are empowered and renewed. And as you fill us, Lord, help us to be advocates for others rather than accusers. Help us to come alongside others, not to tear them down, to point fingers and cut down. I pray, Father, that as you renew us and empower us, and as you advocate for us, that we would once again experience a renewal and revival and an empowerment, that we can be animated with your life, the Ruach of God. May it fall down on this place. And so as we leave this holiday weekend, as we go forth to our busy lives and the heart of the summer, as families prepare for school next month, I pray, Father, that you would keep us safe. You would strengthen those that are tired and weary. You would comfort the hurting and grieving. And that you would remind us that you are fighting for us because of Jesus. And so we pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much.